Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest in the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, so today I have Christopher Palmer on the line, and he's a photographer and founder over at C. Warren Gallery and C. Warren Travel. Chris, welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are we doing, Adam? Thank you for having me.
Man, I'm looking at Scott Eddy's Instagram, who referred you over to the show. He's been on the show a couple times, and I had him on recently, and he told me, hey, you got to get Chris on the show. And I'm like, why? So I can be teased a little bit more on all these amazing pictures and travel and everything else you're doing. How are you doing, by the way? Are you in a ship, or where are you at?
I'm actually home, sitting in front of the PC, looking at many files. We actually just got back from Antarctica.
Wow.
And it was my seventh continent.
How many photos?
I can't even name photos. We're never going to say files. We're going to say terabytes.
Oh, my gosh. So like 10,000, 20.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
It was absolutely amazing.
Wow.
It was absolutely just incredible. I mean, we left from South America. So it was kind of like a little more South America intensive. Then we kind of did a cruise through Antarctica on Princess, and it was amazing, man. It was on a Sapphire. I think she holds about 2,600 people. And like you said, it was a fully booked vessel. So it was once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. There's only, I think it's definitely, I don't even know if it's a 0.05% of the world actually gets to see Antarctica.
Wow.
And I was one of those people. So it was absolutely amazing to experience.
So there's C. Warren Gallery and C. Warren Travel. So I'm guessing the travel side is obviously doing like travel photography and things like that. What's the C. Warren Gallery part?
So the C. Warren Gallery is, I guess, one of the many branches that I have. It's kind of dedicated to ocean photography. Hmm. And ocean photography, I was born and raised in Philadelphia. But I went down to Jersey all the time with my dad. He had a vessel, he had a boat, and we'd go fishing all the time. And so fishing, ocean, and photography was always my passion. Mm. And basically, I guess it was maybe about 5-6 years ago, I meshed both of the passions together of the ocean and photography. Mm. So honestly, before I worked on Wall Street for 21 years, my office is out of Boca Raton, Florida. And before the office, that's how I would get prepared for the office. I know it doesn't sound realistic to go in the ocean and, you know, just go out there and get hit by the waves in the morning. But I can honestly, that's the one place I can go clear my head is when I'm behind a camera. That's all I can think of. I'm just totally immersed inside the frame, whatever I'm taking. Now for the ocean, I shoot waves. I'll do long exposures. Anything that has energy, I love to do it because it's the ocean. You can stand in the same spot every day for 365 days a year, and it's never going to be the same. Mm. So it's just something that draws me back.
Wow. And so was it, I don't even know if this is a good question, was it hard to leave your trading desk to go travel the world and enjoy this other passion?
Well, it definitely spun around in my head for many years.
Yeah.
And I got to say, I'm blessed with an amazing wife, an amazing family. Mom was a little tentative about me leaving a good paying job, having lineage with the company for over 20 years.
Oh, wow. You were there for a while then. So that's, they're right. That is a tough decision then.
Yeah. But, you know, as everybody, you know, goes through changes in life and everything, and unfortunately, I just knew my father passed and my mom had a major stroke. And it gets you thinking, you know, how many years do we honestly get on this earth? How many years, how many days, how many minutes do we get to enjoy basically walking this earth and just taking everything in? Mm-hmm. And it took me definitely a couple years, and I'm going to definitely say a change in the market, to finally exit the finance business and follow my passion.
Man, so I'm guessing that your friends, your coworkers, everyone around you is just so supportive, and they're like, oh, this is the best idea ever. Were they? Because yeah. I'll tell you on my end, they were not. They were like, Adam, are you crazy? I was in finance almost 14 years before I left, and I nice. Went in media full time. So I've been in media now 8 years going on. And they're like, you're going to have a podcast. You're going to write books. You're going to, what? Have you lost it? You manage almost $200 million. Are you crazy? Like, you worked your whole life for this. You got all these licenses and CFP and Series 7, 6, 63, 24, like, or 26. Like, I'm all like you're going to go do all that? What? All these other things you just did and you started another first. So that was my story. So in your end, how did it go for you? Like, give us the real here.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the people in the trading desk they didn't realize it. I mean, I didn't tell anybody. I remember still to the day.
Okay, that's the story then. Okay, there has to be more. Your finance people, they were like, what? You're going to do what?
Well, I worked on a trading desk, and if there is any inkling, because I managed a large position for the firm, so I prop traded interest rates, I prop traded the banks. And once you kind of give an inkling that you're leaving and you have all those, you're handling all the money. I was on the wholesale side dealing with the institutions. You're kind of asked to leave. So I remember it was December 27th. I had a t-shirt that the wife bought me and it said, I called in seasick. I remember I walked into the office and I seen Stefan. And he's like, oh, this doesn't look so good. I'm like, nah, Stefan, you know, no Brooks Brothers, no polish, you know, flip-flops, board shorts, and a t-shirt. He's like, you taking a day off? I'm like, Stefan, I think I'm taking a couple days off. He's like, really? I'm like, today's my last day. He's like, no. He's like, are you sure you don't want to take a 30-day break and come back and think about it? I'm like, no, Stefan, I'm gonna do it now. He's like, all right, I'm going to give you a week. I'm not going to sign the papers. You think about it. I'm like, Stefan, I'm done.
Wow. So then you're done. What did that first day look like when you were like, maybe day, week, whatever. When did it hit you?
Well, I got to say, something that usually a father-in-law would not do. He was supportive of me leaving. He loved my photography. So I called him. I said, hey, Bruce, I just quit my job. He's like, congratulations. He's like, you want to go to breakfast? I'm like, sure. Now, you know, working in finance, you usually don't sit down. I mean, I had business lunches, but in 21 years, yeah, maybe 10 lunches. I mean, there were clients. And I remember sat down, we had champagne, and he's like, congratulations, you're going to enjoy this. And that's where it all started. And I guess, honestly, where it hit was driving home, I stopped at the beach. The beach is one of the places where I always reflect and I just clear my head. I stood there at the inlet. And, you know, that's where the ebb and flow, the tide comes in and out. And I'm like, this is where it's all going to start, man. This is where it's all going to start. And then I got nervous.
That's good. That's good.
I'm like, what do I do? I'm like, you know, being in finance, you know, my brain's always going. I'm doing something every second. I'm like, this is the first time in 21 years I got nothing on the schedule. I was like, oh my God, what do I do?
I think you answered my other question. Did you have a book of clients lined up or like,
I worked on my book for many years, my gallery, the fine arts. So I did have everything lined up. I did have a couple pieces sold before that. So the corporation was open while I was still on a desk, but I wasn't really, so to say, manning it. It was just there getting prepped for the future. And I came home. I got the computer out. Actually, I think it was an iPad. And started to look for art shows. So I'm like, all right, so I'm going to go out to these art shows. I'm going to sell my work. And it's going to be easy. I'm like, this is going to be easy. And then when you realize what goes into these art shows,
it's not that easy, man.
Yeah. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of just thinking, I do overthink a lot, as you probably tell. I want everything perfect. So, you know, weeks of preparations for my first show, I'm like, you know, up to midnight doing this. And I'm like, scratching my head, I'm like, at least the office was, you know, 8 to 5. You know, being on my own, there's no close to the market.
We're kindred spirits. The first thing I thought was, once I left, I'm like, my whole life for the most part ran on the market. So now that little bit of pressure that's done when it closes and you're okay, whatever, like maybe it was a good day, maybe it wasn't, whatever, but it's at least there's a little bit, whatever that percentage of pressure is off, it's off, right? Can't do anything. But now it's not done ever. Because you're an entrepreneur and it never is done. And even when it's good, it's not done.
No.
That means there's more to do because you're being successful. So it's definitely not done.
Well, I think, you know, it sounds like you have a great understanding of that. I mean, and honestly, a lot of entrepreneurs, and especially people come from finance, we know we have to keep that pedal down. If you let off that pedal, your clients are going to go away. You always have to search for new clients here, there. You always have to be scattering. You always have to be out there on the horizon looking to see what the next trade is, what the next customer is, you know, who moved my cheese. You know what I'm saying? Don't get stagnant. Go always out there and trying to find the new assets or whatever it is, or the new photo or new clients. So I took all those years of experience in the financial industry and kind of plugged them into the photography. So I'm not going to say I think I'm a pretty good photographer. Yes, there's a lot better photographers out there than I am. So with any industry, anything that you do, you have to have passion and you have to have the drive. If you don't have the drive to put yourself out there, to get the artwork in front of people, to stand in front of corporate clients, like, you know, whoever it is, you have to be willing to put yourself in uncomfortable positions.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to expect to fail. So that's what, you know, being in a finance industry, we learned, not going to say learn to fail. You have to expect to fail, but you have to learn from that fail. Because you're never going to have a perfect life. It's how you recover from it.
Did this one feel different, though? And I'll tell you where I'm coming with that question. Because we spend, I can think about myself when I was, you know, you spend, even with that failure, you're dealing with the analytical side of the brain, at least in my case. Like, and I'm getting for your case, too, because you're on the trading desk. So now you had this creative outlet originally that obviously you'd sold some things, you'd done, but it wasn't for keeps. Like that wasn't your main source of income necessarily. So the stakes weren't as high. So when you face rejection and the stakes are higher and you're on the creative side, like, was that different?
Well, yeah, because
different, isn't it? I know it's different for me. Like I'm thinking about like the first when I moved to the creative side and now I'm doing this podcast and they don't like my podcast or they do like it or whatever. There's something going on, right? So it's like, and I'm like, who am I? Like this is like, I used to be pretty calm and cool, but that was all analytical side. Like you can reject me all day long. I'm right. I know my numbers, right? I know this. But now when you're in the creative side, especially, well, podcast, whatever, art, photography, that's subjective, right? So it's different.
Correct. That's a 100% great point. I mean, honestly, as finance, we can put numbers to numbers and we could show and say, hey, this is a good bond, this is a good investment, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And we know we can hold it in the books. We know we can say,
and maybe you don't get the sale, but you know that what you presented, you know, you knew your stuff.
Right. But then on the creative side, this is where we start taking things personally. Like
oh,
you
yeah.
said.
They don't like my podcast.
Yeah. They don't like my picture. I'm like, there's not a pixel out of place on this thing. I mean, it's like, this thing is like the
Milton,
most perfect
you better buy
picture.
This picture.
Yeah.
How dare you?
And then sometimes they look at this picture I wouldn't even look at. Oh, my God, that picture's beautiful. I'm like, you know, the wife stands behind me. I'm deleting. She's like, that picture's beautiful. I'm like,
I think so, too. Good.
I mean, that's the thing about art.
Yeah.
Everybody has a different eye. Mm-hmm. Everybody looks at things a different way. And you have to have, as a photographer, you have to have that broad audience effect. I'm kind of niched in the ocean and also niched heavily in the travel industry now.
Yeah.
For the travel industry, you know, one of the hardest things to shoot out there is food. And I kind of zoomed in, kind of keyed in on it, and I'm doing really good with food and beverage.
Oh, wow.
And that's really good.
It's got to be hard in general. Like, how do you, like, I see your shots and I'm like, they don't, it's a cruise ship. I've only been on a couple and I plan on going more. I told Scott, I'm like, hey, Like now, and now I got it. Now I got a third. I said, "Hey, I got you, Chris. We need to have a podcast on the cruise ship. Who's out there?
Princess, definitely
somebody, Disney, somebody's listening. I want to take the podcast on the cruise ship." But that was my aside. But my question is, like, how do you shoot that? Like, they don't just stop. They're not going to like close off the whole section. I don't know. And they're like, okay, now it's time for them to come shoot. Like, how do you do that? It sounds like it's a logistical challenge. That's a good word.
So sometimes we do shoot on a fly and we do bring ourselves over into the corner and do not disturb the customers. And then sometimes we do have the professional shoots lined up where the restaurant's closed or we're going in there and just shooting that aspect of, you know, let's say the 10, 15, 20 dishes. But now the thing about food photography is kind of stagnant. So
you mean like, how do you make it interesting? I just want to
correct.
Okay, go ahead. Because I'm on Instagram trying to make a dish look good, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not the one.
It's all about lighting, man. It's all about lighting. It's basically background and lighting. So the lighting, you're just basically, photography is just controlling your eye. That's what a good photo is going to do. So basically, the main subject has to be apparent. And then the worst thing that actually I see a lot of sometimes is background. So for background, for me, makes the picture. I mean, in landscapes, in food photography, anything like that, it's going to be the background, to me, what sets a good picture away from a bad picture.
We do have to answer the question, because if not, we're going to be on an email saying this, that this headline was a clickbait. Is it worth quitting your job to follow your passion? I'll answer first. I'm going to say, now that I'm in year 8, yes. But years 1 through 4, no. So I got two answers there. What's your answer?
It depends what side of the bed I wake up on.
Today. It's what, January 29, 2024. What's your answer today? I'll give you that one.
Well, 7 days into editing in Antarctica, questions me. I need a vacation. They're like, you were just on a cruise for 16 days. I've been editing for 7 days straight. So yes, 100%, it is worth quitting your job. It is 100%. I mean, granted, some days I want to look back and say, yes, that could be easier. But also, knowing I have now been to every continent out there. In the last, year and a half or so with Scott, I have traveled to 30 countries.
I didn't ask you that. I've been in the studio. Don't I? Speaking of, I look at you. I know Scott's Instagram and I know yours as well. But for the audience that may not know yours, can you give your Instagram or where you'd like people to come look at your work? C. Warren Gallery and C. Warren Travel, please.
Correct. So C. Warren Gallery is going to have my fine art, ocean photography. And then C. Warren Travel, you're going to see all my travel adventures. You're going to see my photos that I'm taking for the assets for the company. And one good thing that I know a lot of people look at people on Instagram and say, you know, are they just showing off? No. So what actually is really, I found in this is actually really, really cool. I got so many viewers out there. And family members, whatever it is, I know if the person's a shut-in, like my mom, she can't walk or anything like that. Mm-hmm. People can't travel, they don't have the finances or whatever. So I get to bring these experiences to them.
Or if they're locked in a studio like me, Chris. But yeah, it's called living vicariously. We get it. I live vicariously through you and Scott. It's okay.
But it brings light to some people, you know, the elders or people financially not able to do it. So that's actually like a little shining star that doesn't really get spoken about. You know what I'm saying? It's pretty cool to bring these adventures and these situations to people that would never get to experience it. So that's kind of like, it's not all about the finances all the time.
Sure.
It's about the reward. And that part of the industry doing the travel stuff is so rewarding for me. Granted, I mean, I love getting the shot and everything like that and giving the assets to the client and knowing that I did well, but knowing people actually enjoyed my work. You know, as a creative, that's what we're here for, man. That's our passion, is to get that like, so to say.
Well, we appreciate all you do. And I do seriously appreciate the work that you and Scott are out there doing, because I do truly enjoy it. And that's why I follow it. And so thank you again for coming on the show. And to the audience, hey, if you haven't hit that subscribe button, I don't know if you need an invitation, or I don't know if you need me to mail you a postcard or what, but we're not doing that. Just hit the subscribe button, okay? We have many more great guests coming up, and we don't want you to miss anything. Got some more guests lined up for you. So hit that subscribe. And Chris, thank you again for coming on. Appreciate it. And I look forward to following your next adventure. So thank you.
Adam, thank you so much for your time. I greatly appreciate it, sir.